الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله رب العالمين نستعينه نستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له ملك وله حمد وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون always praising Allah and thereafter giving Allah all unqualified praise. He is our Lord, Keeper, Sustainer, Evolver of all the systems of knowledge. We witness that there's no deity, no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. He is without partners or associates, and there's nothing like unto Him. To Him be the dominion or the rule. To Him be all unqualified praise, and He has power over all things. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the prayer and the peace be on him, that he is Allah's slave, servant, and His messenger. And we pray not only the prayers and the peace be on him, but we wish that peace on his family, on the companions, the descendants, the righteous all. And we extend that peace to you, O Muslims. We say, Ayyuhal Muslimun, and on you also be the peace. We say, Ameen, wa amma ba'd, and what follows of that salutation. Seeking refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy, and with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الناس إن خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم معكم إن الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. We say صدق الله العظيم, and Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Dear family believers, our topic today is entitled Al-Islam is the cure for racism. And Allah still knows, and we know not. Repeating. Al-Islam, commonly called Islam, is the cure for racism. And Allah still knows, and we know not. Dear family, translating this particular ayat that's popular, we're familiar with it, aware of it, it appears in Surah Al-Hujurat. And by the way, Surah Al-Hujurat is a surah that deals quite a bit with attitudes, proper conduct. This is 49 in the Quran. Your attitudes, conduct, in some cases a type of adab, how we should interact with one another, how we should feel about one another. So it's worth reading the whole surah. It's a short surah, only roughly about 17, 18 ayat. But the one we're looking at is 13, and it translates. A translation is this. O mankind, we created you from a single pair of a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Another way to translate it, we created you into nations and tribes so that you can have an exchange. We created you from nations and tribes so that you can benefit from one another. Verily, the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most righteous of you, and Allah has full knowledge and is well acquainted with all things. Again, surely Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Now, dear family, there's a lot in that ayat. First of all, we want to remind us, just as Allah says in Surah An-Nisa 4, the first ayat, that you and I, this whole human population, whether there's about 7 billion of us or not, Allah tells us that we begin from a single soul, and that Allah created of that single soul, of like nature, its mate. And from them too, he populated the earth. That's Surah An-Nisa, the first ayat. This ayat just clearly says, O mankind, all kinds of man. And my sisters, you already know it doesn't exclude you. You're in the family of mankind. This is just a terminology to classify the human race. It doesn't mean male gender here. The point is this. From these two, I made you into nations and tribes. Do you know, brothers and sisters, we still have problems with differences. We still have problems with diversity. We still, and I'm talking in general, but specifically in the African-American community, we have problems still. We still deal with the light-skinned and the dark-skinned. We still deal with the facial features, the big lips, the nose, the texture of the hair. We're still dealing with all of that. And in some way, it's subtle. It's not always conscious. But it's motivating certain attitudes and behaviors behind the scenes. So Allah is revealing, this is Quran, so Allah is revealing, yes, I made you different on purpose. And I want you to appreciate, to celebrate the differences, and learn from the differences. I'm going to read some more ayat in a minute. Just bear with me. We're on this idea of racism, which in Islam is a dichotomy. If you're a Muslim and you're a racist, unless you're a racist against Satan, unless you're a racist against sin, unless you're a racist against falsehood, then that is acceptable. But if you're a racist based on ethnicity, language, culture, skin color, you done missed it. You might not even belong in this body of community. Because, and again, brothers and sisters, I'm not naive. I'm among Muslims. There is racism among Muslims. There's discrimination among Muslims. And part of this connotation of racism, because some people are twisted, they'll tell you racism is not a bad thing. It just means that you love your people, that you just love your race. Okay, yes, that has its place. You should be proud of your ethnicity, especially based on what I just told you. Allah did this on purpose. There's no worries, no problem. But we know that the negative stigma and the application of racism usually is against someone. You're not celebrating your race, you're against somebody else. And you, in some cases, have set up a whole institution that discriminates, marginalizes, and deals out injustice based on skin color. Allahu Akbar. So Allah settles it, did this on purpose, exchange from each other. And matter of fact, what does Allah hint here? Allah says, part of your racism is this idea that you're superior to someone. On the mere fact, or only on the mere fact of a skin color. Now we can go farther, because sometimes we think something is racism and really it's classism or casteism, I think in some countries say, meaning that I'm of a certain family. I'm of a royal family. I have a certain economic status. I'm a multimillionaire. I'm a billionaire. Sometimes you're favored and discriminated against based on your financial status. So this thing is deep. And it's an institution. So Allah said, let me make it clear. If you want to know who is the most honorable among you, if you want to know who's superior in Allah's sight, it is the one, male or female, that keeps their duty to Allah. It is the one, male or female, that has taqwa. It is the one, male or female, that has regardfulness, obedience, God consciousness. And then we follow that up with a behavior that's congruent with what we're spitting out from our mouths. And Allah says, how does he end that? And Allah has full knowledge and is well acquainted with all things. So, dear family, what does that suggest? You might fool me, you might fool her, you can't fool Allah. Muslims don't want to pretend. We want to be. This is a religion of action. This is a religion of practice. Not a Friday thing. Not a changing your name from Tim Simpson to Abdullah, Abdullah, Abdullah. No, it's not that. I won't leave you out. Or Fatima, Fatima, Fatima. Huh? It's not that. A Muslim is as a Muslim does. Let's continue in Quran. Allah says, and among his signs is the creation of the skies and the earth, and the variation in your language and in your colors. Verily, in these are signs for those who know. And Allah says, seest thou not that Allah sends down rain from the sky? With it he bring out produce of various colors, and in the mountains are tracks white and red of various shades of color and black in intense hue. I'm coming out of Quran now. Brothers and sisters, the first thing I want us to see here, see how Allah uses nature. See, that's to suggest to us automatically to discriminate based on a color or a language is unnatural. Because Allah gives you nature, talks about rain, which is natural, talks about mountains he created, and the mountains are huge, and the vegetation. You know, what's interesting, some people that don't like black people like black dogs. Some people that don't like white people like white roses. See, here's the thing, family. There are different colors of roses, but the nature of the rose, regardless of the color, is the same. So the human being, Allah brings us back. We have decided, I'm greater, you're less significant, based on culture, language, prestige, color, etc. Allah says, all of your origin is Adam, and he's from dust. Yes. So Allah is telling you it's unnatural to be a racist. And I created the differences. So celebrate them. This is beautiful. Allah says it best. Different colors, but it's still a rose, right? Allahu Akbar. Now watch this. And amongst human beings and crawling creatures and cattle, are they of various colors? Those truly fear Allah among his servants who have knowledge, for Allah is exalted in might, all forgiving. Again, nature. Not just the human being, they're creatures. There's creatures that crawl. The cattle, all different colors. Now watch this one here. I like this one. This one really gets to the root of something here. And Allah says, it is we who sendeth down rain from the sky. With it, we produce vegetation, of all kinds. From some, we produce green crops, of which we produce grain heaped up at harvest. Out of the date palm and its sheets or spathes come clusters of dates hanging low and near. And then there are gardens of grapes and olives and pomegranates. Listen to this phrase, family. Each similar in kind, yet different in variety. When they begin to bear fruit, feast your eyes with the fruit and the ripeness thereof. Behold, in these things are signs, again, for people who believe. Now, brothers and sisters, before I comment on that ayat, I want to remind you of the creation of you and I, our beginning, when Allah called a meeting with the angels. And he calls the angels together, and among the angels was this fella named Iblis. He called them all together, and he said, bow to the man that I'm making. there was big resistance from Iblis. He didn't bow. And then Allah, in Surah Al-Araf, 7 in the Quran, says, what is the matter with you? Why didn't you bow when I commanded you to do so? Now check Iblis out. I am better than him. You made him from clay. You made me from fire. The point is what? Arrogance. Superiority. Racism in the way you and I understand it. I'm not going to bow to this thing. You're giving trust to something that I don't think deserves the trust you're giving him. And her. It is a partnership. Khalifa is not male. Khalifa is not singular. Khalifa is not one ruler for all Muslims. Khalifa is the collective. It's male and female, those that have been given the trust to administer and to oversee the rest of Allah's creation. That's Khalifa. Khalifa tul ard, not Khalifa tul ummah, Khalifa tul ard, the people. I'm sorry, the earth, pardon me, the earth, not the people, the earth. So brothers and sisters, again, what are we showing here? Allah is revealing that even though the same rain falls on individuals, they grow differently. Even though the same rain grows on individuals, the colors vary. And we know the painter is the sun. The sun paints creation. So what I'm showing you here is don't get it twisted. Don't be deceived. Understand that even though they're different colors, different languages, different features, different hair texture, your common essence is the same. Your common origin is the same. And Satan, which was Iblis at the time, is the first racist. And Satan is the one behind racism today. He's keeping it alive. He's more subtle now. Allah says, what? Satan hides in a position that you don't see him. But he's watching your every move, looking for the opportunity to inject something to prove to you. Don't forget what the challenge is. I'm going to prove, Allah, you made a mistake. I'm going to prove he's unworthy. And I'm going to come at them with every trick. It says front, rear, right, and left. I'm giving you Quran, dear family.
That's right.
Now, what is our title today? Al-Islam is the cure for racism. And Allah still knows and we know not. Why did I throw that in there? Because I just talked about that fella Iblis. And when Allah called the angels together, did not the angels ask, are you going to shed blood? Are you going to create one? Pardon me, that shed blood creates mischief. Allah says, I know what you know not. And I'm telling you, in case you didn't get that, he still knows and we know not. Let's trust him. Let's trust Allah. Even in the midst of all this confusion, even in the midst of police officers still shooting down African Americans that are unarmed, even in the midst of this, Allah is watching. Yes, similar in kind, yet different in variety. Praise be to Allah. Dear family, since Al-Islam is the cure and you and I practice Al-Islam, we are the hope for the world. I don't say this with arrogance. I'm not even limiting it to Masjid Bilal. That's another khutbah. I'm talking about the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The entire Ummah of Muhammad is the hope for the world. But it takes us practicing. It takes us applying the principles. We shouldn't acquiesce on certain things just to get along. Sometimes we don't want to ruffle nothing. Sometimes things have to be ruffled. You got to ruffle sometimes. We don't just go along to get along. The nature of the Muslim is peaceful. But as Imam Muhammad said years ago, radiallahu anh, he said that peace, he said, yes, Muslims are peaceful. Yes, we are the peacemakers. All of that. And then he said, yes, feel safe, feel secure, feel comfortable around the peaceful Muslim. But he said, if you disturb the peace, and if a peacemaker go to war, you're in trouble. If a peacemaker go to war, you're in trouble. Because we will only go to war to restore back the peace. And it's all about truth, fairness, and justice. Praise be to Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanat wa fil akhirati hasanat wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord, we pray for excellence in this life. We pray for excellence in the next. Please save us from the torment of the fires of sin. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In concluding this khutbah, dear family, you already know what's motivating this khutbah if you're paying attention to the news. And I got an email this morning from the Council on American and Islamic Relations, and I hope that we're in unity with Muslims all over America, maybe all over the world. They ask that we address racism in our khutbah today. And I think the timing is perfect. The timing is perfect for this. And brothers and sisters, I believe in my heart, everything that I've told you, I believe that Al-Islam is the cure. It is the cure. Yes, other religions have it, but we have it in the most pristine, the most excellent, the most complete form. So again, brothers and sisters, you know what I'm talking about. In the state of Missouri, young African-American male, 18 years of age, I believe is the age, no weapon found, shot down. Somebody said, as usual. And we appreciate the fact that the public, the community, immediate response. See, no longer are you just sitting around letting things get swept under the rug. They made demand. We want to see. We give up the name. We want the name. The name might have been released by now. I was watching news this morning. The chief of police, the governor of that state, they said, and the governor, you know, he's playing a humble role, but he's saying, yes, the name needs to be released. He didn't give the chief an order, but I'm happy to know that the chief sees that he needs to do this. And the chief said, I will do this. And they're concerned about the family in a way they probably, yeah, well, I guess the world is crazy. They probably do need to be concerned about the family. But the point is, make the precautions, take the precautions, and then work for justice. Take the precautions and work for justice. We want justice in this situation. The outcry, the pouring, it didn't stop in Missouri. Something happened in D.C. Something happened in New York. The people are responding. Our president weighed in. And he don't weigh in on everything, but usually when he weigh in, he step in it. You know, he say something like that time that professor got arrested and he called the chief of police or something. He called him some name, and I think later he had to backpedal because he spoke too soon. That's all right. At least he's doing something. See, I'd rather do something and apologize later than don't do nothing. Do something. So, brothers and sisters, this is what's motivating the talk. I want to be in harmony. I want to speak to this. At the same time, I'm reminding. At the same time, I'm revealing. One of the big problems, and it's not just limited here. We can look at what's happening in Palestine right now. We can look at what's happening in Israel and Palestine and other parts of the world. Iraq, what's happening all over. Why human life is so insignificant. Why human life doesn't have any value. That's what you have to do to be able to just snuff people out, to just kill people. I mean wholesale, not one or two, hundreds of them. And you know that's what happened with you and my experience as African Americans, as ex-slaves in this country. They demonized us. They devalued us as human beings. They justified their treatment in their own sick minds by devaluing us as human beings. So same thing. What this is showing, even though we're politically correct now, we say all the right phrases. We hire and we say we don't have discriminatory practices on the books. Every now and again, a reminder like what happened in Missouri lets us know. I'm not going to say racism is alive and well because it was sick to begin with. You get it? So it can't be well now. It's still sick. The point is simply, brothers and sisters, don't get caught up. Stay sober. I don't mean sober drink. I know y'all don't drink, except for you two over there. I know y'all still struggling. And I only say that because I'm not naive. Muslims have the same challenge everybody else has. Right. We're dealing with the same problems, everybody. So to turn a blind eye and say we don't have domestic violence in our community, we don't get high in our community, we don't fornicate in our community, you're lying. We're dealing with all of this stuff in our community. The only way we can correct it and address it is be real, honest, and apply the medicine. Apply the medicine and the reminders. So, dear family, this is my message today, and I'm bringing it again to remind you, but I'm also inviting you to some type of action. If no more than in your own attitude, if no more than in your own behavior, make sure that you're not doing little racist jokes on the side. You know, we politically correct in the public, but on the side, we saying things. I know because I've heard it. You know, white people are this, white people are that. Arabs are this, Arabs are that. Huh? Careful. Make sure that you know that that's your stuff. That's not Islam. And that's the problem. Even some of our Arab brothers are racist and in denial. They don't even see their practices at, quote unquote, the Arab masjid towards Arabs and non-Arabs. This is reality. And the fact that we're predominantly African-American here, I never want that spirit or that attitude to come across that we just pro-black and marginal everything else. Yes, we're pro let me put it this way. We recognize our mission. And we're not going to let anybody turn us around from our mission. And we're aware that our unique set of circumstances have prepared us for a mission that only we're qualified to do. But while we're doing that, we're Muslims with all Muslims. We love all Muslims. We welcome all Muslims. I heard Imam Muhammad say it this way in 1996, and this is my position. In all humility, not that we got to be the only game in town, however, I'm recognizing the special blessing that we receive. What did the Imam say? I invite Pakistanis in this following. I invite Africans in this following. I invite Arabs and anybody else in this following. The following of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And he said, he answered why? Because of what Allah is doing for and with this community. Even our brothers and sisters. We have a couple members of Mass here. I'm glad to see Brother Jahan, Brother Umar. Been too long since I've seen you, Brother Umar. Glad to see you. I'm not going to put you on blast. We keep moving. The point is, when I look at the philosophies of Mass, particularly the youth center, and the things that they focus on, they, years ago, came into an awareness, we got to do this thing a little differently. They years ago, came into an awareness, we can't do Islam in America like we do it overseas. Now, don't misquote me. I'm not talking about the religion. I'm talking about, because the religion overseas and the religion in America, the religion in San Antonio is all the same. But as far as strategies, as far as application, as far as open-mindedness, as far as new scenarios and situations. Yes. I'm thinking of something right now. Some of you, I want you to ask me later. I did a talk. It's been a while now. See, my mind is racing. Maybe I'm getting too old. I don't know. Senior moments. But what the talk had to do with is the need. I know what it was. In order to apply and practice Islam properly, you have to be open-minded. That's a dichotomy for some of y'all. Some of you, nope. Islam is right here. We not letting anything else in. See, what you've done is you've made it inorganic. Al-Islam is organic. Al-Islam is evolving constantly. Allah said in the Quran, he's teaching us now, not last week, not last year, not 1400 years ago. He's teaching us now. So there's things that are happening that Al-Islam has the solution for. All knowledge has not been understood yet. There's things we're still understanding in science and growing and learning in science. Allah says no more prophets coming. Allah says the Quran is his final revelation. Do you think we've already extracted everything we need to know in 1400 years from the Quran? Absolutely not. And the Quran will be relevant 1,000 years from now. People will still be discovering and unfolding insights and information because Allah teaches us all the time. And don't worry about it if you don't get it, but somebody else gets it. That's for them. It's not for you. Allah got something else for you. Support the good that we do. We don't all have to be on the same level. Yes. So again, brothers and sisters, I'm going too long now. We're good. I'm asking you to make your contribution to eradicating racism. Start in your own community. In some cases, your own home. There's family members that don't like each other because she's lighter than me. How come she got the good hair? What are you talking about? Good hair? That's just hair. What you talking about? You all ought to see that documentary Chris Rock did on good hair, bad hair. It's a satire, but it's a message in it. So that's all I'm trying to get you to do. Be active. See, it's not what we say so much. It's how we live. It's what we model. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. You see, I'm closing it up now. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you see a wrong, change it with your hands, which is saying physically do something about it if you can. Take some action. If you're too weak, too oppressed to do that, at least open your mouth and say something. Don't know something wrong and don't say nothing. And if you're too oppressed, because that's the idea, if you're too oppressed and you can't change it with your hand, you can't speak out against it, at least hate it in your heart. Now, he tells you that's the weakest of faith because this is a religion of action, but at least hate it in your heart. And that might do something. With enough hate in people's hearts, that might change something. And then lastly, dear family, study the farewell address. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm going to say it quickly. Remember, if you knew you were going to die tonight, if you knew you were going to die next week, you would call your family together. You would get your business in order. You would address all of the things that are most important. You would tell your loved ones, stop fighting. You tell your loved ones, be good Muslims, etc. In other words, you would address the most important issue. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the same thing. He addressed women's rights. He addressed Muslims' rights. But what else did he address? He addressed racism. He knew that racism was still in his community. He said there's no superiority of a black over a white or a white over a black. Because the blackologists like to say there's no superiority of a white over a black. But it didn't just say that. There's also no superiority of a black over a white. And there's no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab. And guess what? No superiority of a non-Arab over an Arab. Get this error. Get rid of this. And Allah says it best. If you want to know who's best in conduct, best in deed, I'm sorry, best among you, it's in conduct, deed, it's in honor, it's integrity, it's honesty, it's decency, it's morality, it's faith. It's kind treatment. It's loving each other. That's what's best. And Allah said it best. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin kama sallaita Ibrahim wa Ibrahim. Wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa Ibrahim fil alamin. Innaka Hamidum Majid. Amin. Hakim as-salat.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.